Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's talk some football. I'm Brandon Vogel, managing editor of Hail Varsity, and this is the I-80 Preview Podcast, a new show on the Hail Varsity Network and a Herd App Media production. Yes, this is really my voice and cadence. I'm not trying to make this sound NPR-y, which is how it sounds coming through my headphones back into my own head. But I'm also, what I am trying to do is not amp it up, at least not too much. I understand that maybe that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe that's what people want, but that wouldn't really be on brand for me. Measured is more my speed. So that's what we're going to go with. And I hope that can help us here with this show. As you may have guessed, it is a game preview show, a weekly show where the sales pitch is really simple. At the end of it, my hope is you'll have a better understanding of the game Nebraska is about to play, the opponents it's about to face, what's likely to happen, and what is perhaps unlikely to happen. What's I-80 have to do with any of this? That came about during the longer than long off season, as we were talking through podcast ideas for the 2020 football season. Producer Pat with Herd App Media pitched the idea of, wouldn't it be great if there were a show that's meant for people's drive into the stadium? You know, you're headed down to Memorial Stadium on a fall Saturday and you want to know, okay, what's happening here? What should I expect to see? Great idea, I thought. 2020 has conspired against us on that front. Unfortunately, nobody's going to be driving to Memorial Stadium this season. So for the time being, this can be your leaf raking podcast. This can be your rib smoking podcast, whatever you want. The goal doesn't change. We're going to talk football. We're going to get pretty in depth, and hopefully at the end of it, it'll be worthwhile and you'll find something that maybe you didn't know coming in. What makes this show different? I'm hoping there's a couple of things, because there's definitely no shortage of game previews out there. You can throw a rock and hit 12 different charts that will tell you that Purdue ranked 94th in rushing offense and Nebraska ranked 86th. Those aren't the actual numbers. It's just off the top of my head. But those kind of numbers aren't always telling us a complete story. And that's going to be the real goal here, is to dive deep, to look at aspects of these football games that maybe you don't find everywhere else. But really what it's about is, what are the replicable parts of a football game? What are things that teams can actually control? What are things that teams don't really have much control over? Think turnovers. Everyone knows that those are really important. They have an undue influence on which teams do and do not win games. But for as much as that's coached, tuck the ball away, try to punch it out, all sorts of things, every team is doing that. They're emphasizing turnovers because they just matter that much. They're really tough to control. Once the ball is out, once a fumble is out, it's basically a coin flip. And teams that end up having really good years, it's not uncommon at the end of the year to look it up and say, well, yeah, they recovered 75% of their fumbles, which is far outside the norm. Teams that recover 25%, yeah, they probably had a pretty bad year. And those are just the random bounces of an oblong ball that you can't really control. I'm going to focus on, for this podcast, the things that you hopefully can control, at least a little bit. And that doesn't mean that, you know, yards per game stats are totally out the window, though they're not the most illustrative way to look at a football game, I find, most of the time. Yards per play is a little bit better, because then at least you're dividing things up more. You're looking at what a team is actually doing on a play-by-play basis versus just taking it at the end of once the final gun sounds and how many rushing yards did you have. On that note, there's going to be a couple of numbers that may at first seem unfamiliar to people, but as we go through, you're going to hear me refer to them a lot. I'm going to create a glossary for all of these on HailVarsity.com, which you'll be able to find in the show on the individual show posts, just so that's there. And as we add new stats, they'll that glossary will continue to grow. But a couple I just wanted to highlight off the top here. I should note before I get into the numbers that I wanted to quickly define for you, just so we're all ready to go for next week, the first official episode, which will be a Nebraska-Ohio State preview. A lot of my thinking on football has been informed by the really groundbreaking work that Bill Connolly, formerly of SB Nation, now with ESPN, has done. He is the creator of the SP Plus rankings, which you can find on ESPN now. Those two letters stand for something. It doesn't exactly defining that. It doesn't matter, but they're telling you that through Connolly's work, there are two key parts of football success. Football's a complicated game. There's always a lot of things involved, but if you had to boil it down to, hey, control these two things, what would they be? The S stands for success rate, and that's a stat that I use a lot in my writing. You can think of it as kind of an on-base percentage for football. It's a simple measure based on statistical thresholds created by Football Outsiders that tells you how often a team is staying on schedule. That's kind of the easy way to think about that. So first and 10, the requirement for that to be a successful play by the success rate thresholds is 50% of the yards. So you need 5 yards. Say you get exactly five, then it's second and five. You'd need 70% on second down to run another successful play. And then on third and fourth downs, you need 100% of those. So you just, success rate is simply a tally of, was this play successful and was it not? You can flip that around defensively and the numbers are just reversed. A successful play for the offense is an unsuccessful one for the defense. That gives you a really good idea of just how efficient an offense is being. When I talk about efficiency, I'm almost always talking about success rate. So that's a number that'll come up pretty often. You'll hear me refer to it quite a bit. The other big piece, so the P piece of SP Plus is explosiveness. These are big plays and they're kind of the three pointers of college football. I wrote a story for Hail Varsity once about that, in that everyone can point to them and know that they're important. That said, saying, okay, well, explosiveness is going to be a key part of our game plan is like a basketball coach saying, well, just go out there and we'll shoot 55% from three. Great if you can, but hard to do in practice and not all that replicable. So explosive plays are a little bit more volatile, but they're still a really important stat. If you're lacking a little bit of efficiency offensively or defensively, you can get by if you get a bunch of big plays or limit a bunch of big plays for the defense. So there are different ways to measure that. I prefer the simplest way, which is simply explosive plays percentage. That's a number that we put in the Hail Varsity yearbook each year. And that's just a measure. So all of these coaching staffs have different thresholds for what they consider an explosive play. Personally, when I'm talking about them, I'm talking about any run of 10 plus yards and any pass of 15 plus yards. So 17 yard pass, explosive play. 12 yard run, explosive play. Those aren't chosen totally at random. In seeing some of those and talking with coaches, they're all right in that range in terms of what they would consider quote unquote an explosive. The reason I landed on 10 and 15 is that they happen in roughly the same frequency. So if you take all of the 10 yard runs across college football, divided them up by all of the rushing attempts, you'll end up with a percentage that's pretty close to doing the same thing on the passing side of the ledger. So that's number two in terms of the stats that you're going to hear me talk about pretty often as we as we look at football games this fall. Third one, I just wanted to mention, and this is more of a concept than a number, but it'll come up, is predicted points added, also known as expected points added. This is based on some long-term football research that basically assigns a point value to every down and distance and every yard line. So a drive that starts with first and 10 at the 25-yard line, as the vast majority of drives do, might have an expected value of 2.3 points. That's, again, that's not the number. I'm just offering an example. So say an offense runs a play on that first down and gains 12 yards. So it's now first and 10 at the 37. Now the value of that drive has gone up. Maybe it's 3.3. So predicted points added and extra or expected points added, they're basically interchangeable. Different places have different conventions for which they use. Is simply the difference there. So that play that was just run, that 12 yard out to the sidelines that set up first and 10 at the 37, was worth 1 point. 3.3 minus 2.3. So pretty simple. That's where that goes. But you can do a lot of things with a number like that. And we'll get into some of those as we go through the year. There were some really surprising drops for Nebraska, one of which I think will be really important to this Ohio State game coming up on October 24th, which is a challenge from a preview perspective because you don't have any new games to go on. But we can take a deep look back at what Nebraska did last year, what it did in 2018, why 2019 felt so much different from 2018, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And we can look at kind of impenetrable, unstoppable Ohio State. At least that's the assumption coming in. The Buckeyes are once again the most talented team in the conference. Nothing has happened to change that. They got their opt-outs back. Justin Fields, the all-everything quarterback, never even really, at least as far as we know publicly, flirted with opting out, which is a pretty big deal for the Buckeyes and for college football in general with where that team is expected to be. We'll get into all of that and more with the first official episode of the IED Preview Podcast focused on everything Huskers Buckeyes. Feels good to be here. We'll finally get to talk some football. Be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss any of the episodes. We'll be here each week and really looking forward to it.
A Huda Media Production.